Well, thank you for joining us for our prior two sessions. And as we come to a close of this work, what we're hoping to accomplish in this session is to invite you to reflection on some of the implications of the work that you did in your second session. And what I've recommended, if humanly possible, is that you find a picture of yourself at the age or near the age of what you wrote with regard to that story of blessing and that story of harm. And as simple as it may sound, prop that picture before you as you reread your story. And as you reread it and occasionally gaze at that photo, really what we're inviting you to do is to make a sensual connection between the person you're writing about and visually seeing that person and knowing that in some ways, oh my, yes, you are still that little girl. You are still that little boy. And you're not. How do we hold the complexity of the nature of how our brain holds narrative? We have a sense of who we are that develops over a lifetime. And it is, in many ways, an autobiographical self, a kind of inner narrator that continues to evolve in a sense of who we are. But we also have memories, a sense of self, related to the particularity of our events. We remember what it was like at this age to go through this event, and that sense of who we were holds a kind of historical self, and they are actually metabolized in different parts of our limbic system. So it is honorable to actually use the phrase, you have an evolving self, you have a historical self, and they're the way God made you. And what we're inviting you to is to let that evolving narrator engage something of the historical particularity and to be able to address that question of, so what? How did this shape and have impact in my life? So what I'm asking you to do is, would you put that picture before you? Would you begin to read those stories? What does your heart feel toward that little boy or girl? If you feel tender, strong, kind feelings for him or her, note them. What do you feel? What do you want to say to him, to her? How would you like to physically respond to them? There are going to be some of you that find yourself not particularly kind with words or thoughts toward that person that are actually quite harsh. Maybe if not bordering on contemptuous or cruel. Well, wouldn't it be better to get the words literally out on the table? Thoughts of what you feel toward that person, your younger self. And some of you are not going to feel particularly strong or good or particularly angry or cruel. In fact, you feel nothing. If I had to use a single word for it, you feel indifferent. And let me say, would I that you were hot or cold? There's actually more trouble in your heart if there's just sort of like no feeling at all. Again, not trying to plague you with this point, but simply to say, oh no, there are emotions there. But the way our brain works in terms of holding what could be called amygdala, emotion and memory, is different than holding what's called hippocampus. And those two portions of our brain hold memory quite differently. The amygdala holds memory with a lot of emotion. The hippocampus holds it with a far more A to B to C to D, more descriptive, less affect oriented. And often what happens, particularly with heartache, is our memories get divided. We feel a lot, but don't remember much. We remember a lot, but don't feel much. And so we're really asking the Spirit of God to begin that work of healing, to bring both the amygdala and hippocampus and the way our memories work in a kind of fluid wholeness, a shalom that's not divided. But your ability to ponder what got disrupted in the event, in your heart, in your relationships, with your own sense of self, with God. So as you begin to ponder how this story impacted your relational style, if it's a story of harm, it's a story of insult, injury, loss. Another word for that is shame. So how did you metabolize shame? How did you learn to manage shame? How did you learn to, in one sense, not so much rise above it, but have some level of control over it? And how have those patterns continued to be maybe changed and yet essentially the same as that experience when you were 8, 10, 12, etc.? So what we're asking is, will you ponder how the past significant harm or beauty and blessing have shaped portions of how you relate to other human beings? So in one sense, we're beginning to ask the very hard question of who are you as you relate? But categories, how do you experience, metabolize, and engage moments when you feel shame, when you feel accused, when you feel deficient, weak? Those are questions. How do you feel when you are honored, enjoyed, and delighted in? What does your heart, mind, body do when someone admires you, when someone wants to speak blessing to you? Are you able to receive it? Or is there some history of diminishment of the impact of good in your own life? So we're asking, how do you deal with harm? How do you deal with blessing? So as you begin to ponder and to write out your story, we're also inviting you to the probability that as you ponder that, there's going to be more data than you had even when you wrote the story in our last session. So what would it mean for you to not just understand that the work we're inviting you to is to write your story, but also is rewriting or editing, that is adding, deleting, bringing more truth, bringing more clarity? I can't emphasize this enough. One does not engage important stories in a kind of singular, one-time, it's finished, it's been resolved, I prayed it through, I've understood something of its meaning, and now I can get on with my life. Like scripture, we are meant to study, reflect, and the notion of meditation, especially the word in Hebrew, means kind of chewing one's cud, as a cow chews grass again and again and again and again, to be able to metabolize it. So are you meant to be able to chew over a story, to come to some implications, and then be able to put it aside, ponder, pray, and come back to the story and begin to rewrite portions of it or to add to sections that you did not flesh out with the kind of detail that you know that you have now the capacity to do? So as we invite you to a reiterative process, then we're inviting you to a sense of growing wonder, growing complexity, but as well the delight of God for how he views you, particularly with the courage that you have to begin doing really hard and good work. Now, it may seem like an add-on, but if you find this work intriguing and helpful, you find God speaking to your heart through this process, then what we're inviting you to is something that we can't do through this kind of MP3, and that is you need to be with other people in a process of writing and engaging stories and having what I want to call story guides, people who have been on this path many times before, first and foremost, addressing their own story, but also experienced in helping guide people ponder, reflect, and see something of the meaning and implications of their story. I want you to be in a small group, and certainly I love for you to join us in Seattle, often in August, for what we call a story workshop, where the work you've done now would be incredibly useful to be able to bring and to be part of a small group, hearing their stories, sharing yours, pondering together with a really good guide, something of the import and power and beauty and heartache, something of the death, resurrection, and ascension of your story, to be in that position to be able to go something of the next steps. So wherever you go, whatever you do, I just hope you make a deep covenant, commitment to become a story person, a person who loves story, who learns how to bless story, who's able to do the kind of work with blessing as well as harm, to know something more of the wonder of his redemption. The more you do that, the more you will be engaged and intrigued in other people's stories. And the more you're able to listen and engage and learn and pursue other people's stories, the more you're going to need to know God's story to be able to have that trajectory, that freedom, to be able to do the work of bringing story to story in that inherent goodness of bringing people to Jesus. So as this work progresses, we'd love for you to become a story-oriented man or woman who not only loves and blesses story, but knows how to utilize story well in Scripture and in life and in your life to draw people to the heart of God. Let me pray as we come to an end. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this person. I thank you for the work they've done. Thank you for the intrigue that you have opened their heart to, but far more to your tenderness, your kindness, to your own grief for their heartache, and for your laughter over their celebration of blessing and goodness. Jesus, we want more of your death. We want it to be so filtered into our lives that we have the courage to look death in the face and to be able to say, where is your sting? We want so much more of the resurrection as the basis of our ability to know joy and laughter. And we want the power that comes through the gifting of your kingdom, through your ascension, to be the very force we bring of love to this earth. That's what we're asking for, that our story would be molded into yours and that our lives would reveal something of your goodness. So to that end, Jesus, we ask that this work would be blessed and would be continued and that you would see to the end all the good that you have begun. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for being with us over these three sessions, and anticipate that there will be future days where our stories have the chance to connect with one another. Again, thank you for your participation with us.